Welcome to the Starsology Astrology Podcast. I am your host, Alison Price, and I'm here with my good friend and co-host, Arwin O'Neill.
Hi, Alison. It's great to be here again.
Thank you so much for joining us. So in this episode, we're going to be talking about International Astrology Day.
Yes.
Now, this is a day that comes round every single year as the sun crosses the vernal equinox and enters Aries at 0 degrees Aries.
Yeah.
So it happens for everybody, and it's usually around March 21st. It's the spring equinox for us in the Northern Hemisphere.
Yeah.
This year for us in Vancouver, it's actually happening on March the 19th. So that's kind of almost 2 days early. But we are in a leap year, and it will correct again going forward next year.
Interesting. Yeah.
So when you're working with charts like this that are that's relative to everybody, so if you're in Australia or you're in Asia or wherever, you would still put it at these, it's the exact time that the sun enters Aries. So this is why we use the zero Aries house system to represent these charts. And I'm going to put this chart on the blog post that's related to this podcast episode.
Excellent.
Because the point being that each year this chart will show you what's coming up for everybody for the next 12 months.
Yeah, great.
So it's a big deal. And international astrology, never mind the chart, international astrology itself is a day when many astrology groups will have a celebration party. I want to say all good astrologers will do some celebration for International Astrology Day.
It's like the astrologer's New Year.
It is. Almost a birthday even,
right.
Call it that. So I was with a group in Cape Town once, and they had a cake, and they iced it with the chart on the cake, and everyone was, yeah, because it's so convenient, the cakes are so often round, and it's things like that. So many groups, astrology, will get together and do something particular, and if not, you're just going to have something, I suppose, more quietly to do by yourself. But to acknowledge that we are starting a whole new cycle, the sun is going from the tail end of Pisces at the end of the zodiac and starting again.
Yeah, it's the brand new year.
It's like a whole new year. Yeah, it's like, you know, we've just had the Lunar New Year. People are saying to me, happy Lunar New Year, and I'm saying, oh, happy Lunar New Year.
Yeah,
and now it's happy new astrology year. Yeah,
this may be a little off topic, but it's kind of relevant because we did just pass into the new Chinese New Year with the Dragon, the year of the dragon.
Yes.
Why is it the year of the green dragon? Wasn't it wood dragon?
A wood dragon.
But wood and green, are they the same?
I don't know about the green, yeah.
I've seen green dragon everywhere,
yeah.
But it's wood dragon.
Well, that's obvious. I know it is, yeah, because they've got the five elements, right?
Yeah. But I guess they're just calling wood green now.
Well, we'll have to dig into it and have a topic about that.
All right, back to our previously scheduled.
Yes, so going back to International Astrology Day, so... because we're using a zero Aries chart, you've then got the sun is bang on the ascendant.
Yes.
So you would, in this case, you would ignore the part of fortune because the calculation will be incorrect. And you would ignore the vertex because, again, the part of fortune will be incorrect. If you're using zero Aries, if you decide to calculate this chart for where you're living, which, of course, you can do, it will just be a general transit chart for you.
Yeah.
But in general, this will be a chart that will show the main themes for the whole world coming up for the whole next 12 months. You can, of course, do ingress charts when the sun then enters any of the cardinal signs. So at the summer solstice at June 21st, you could do that when the sun's entering Cancer.
Yeah.
And show your quarters.
Yeah.
So if you were doing, I want to talk about financial stuff, where they're talking about quarter one, two, three, and four, this would then be, we are then at this point, 19th of March, entering the spring quarter. So technically for the fintech people, this would be the Q2.
Right.
But this is actually when it happens.
Yeah.
So it's not the 1st of April. It's actually the 19th of March. So we're happy about that. And of course, this hooks into the Wheel of the Year as well. I mean, what the heck? So in this particular chart, let's just have a closer look at this chart. So with the sun at zero Aries, it's actually conjoined Neptune at 27 Pisces. So that's showing a huge indication there of bringing the two energies together. Now, Pisces, I don't think was that close last year, so it wouldn't have been the conjunction. So that's what we're getting at the moment. So what do we want to say? Themes of, new themes of tail end stuff.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
And still dealing with what happened before.
Right. And it's interesting too, because we've got one of the major aspects here is the moon opposite Pluto in Aquarius, in, you know, the very first degree of Aquarius. We're still going to be dealing with that crossover of Pluto from Capricorn into Aquarius. That's a whole thing this year, because it will be retrograding and then just kind of hovering over that one.
That's right. Burning a hole in the zodiac.
Right, exactly. So, and this cuts the entire chart in half, really, that opposition. Everything else is on the left side of that, that opposition. And so, I mean, it's definitely a chart about beginnings and endings and not quite being able to end things. And
that's right.
You know, is this the beginning of something? Are we still in the...
We're still dealing with the hangover from previous. And this is Neptune. Also, because we're just breaking away from this bowl, which was a discussion we've had recently as well. Mm-hmm. And the moon, because the moon's pulled out, we've now got... we're moving away from the bundle. And we've now got this bowl.
Yeah.
So our cutting planet here is still Pluto.
Yes.
In Aquarius, not to be ignored.
Yeah. And everything is just in between the 11th house and the second, really, except for the moon.
Yes. So the point being that with the sun conjoined the Neptune, things that are still lingering from before, I want to hark back to things like even the COVID thing. Mm. We're not over that. That is still lingering with us. We are still having to pay attention to that. Mm. And things that have that created this Neptunian, with the fact that you've had to have your vaccinations or not,
right.
Those who have not people are still dying of this dreadful disease, which is held back by drugs at this point.
Right.
So that is still with us because Neptune is not, although it's still in Pisces, it's in Pisces at the tail end, whereas the sun's now in Aries saying, hey, we want to start again. And Neptune's saying, no, hang on, we're still doing this. I'm bringing this with us.
Right.
So that's the one thing that I'm particularly, not concerned, I'm looking at.
Yeah.
And then we do have this stellium here in Aries of Mercury, Chiron, and Eris. So what's happening is later on in this year, Chiron is going to be conjoined Eris, and we're no doubt going to be doing a topic about that because this is a 50-year hit, so this isn't coming around soon again.
Yeah.
But we're not quite there yet, but this is bubbling under.
Right.
This is potentials yet to come where we're going to be talking about it. As astrologers, we will be talking about Chiron conjunct Eris. It's going to be everywhere for those of us who want to get
and there it is, Mercury. Wanting to talk about it.
Exactly. Yeah. In that tight stellium there in Aries. So that will be something that will be coming forward.
Yeah.
So if you're at your astrology group and you're thinking, well, let's plan our next year of what we're going to do. They'll be saying, well, we must talk about Chiron conjunct Eris.
And the North Node too, right?
Eris.
North Node. Yeah.
That's in there too.
Yeah.
Going back, that's the only stellium. Then we have another conjunction there of Jupiter and Uranus, and we have an episode about that as well.
Yeah.
Because again, this is now a 12-year conjunction, so it's not going to happen again for another 12 years. So
that's a really interesting one too. We will have an entire episode about Jupiter conjunct Uranus, but that's something that Richard Tarnas has talked about in Cosmos and Psyche. It's an incredible, very interesting conjunction.
Combination,
so, we will.
And it all depends where it's going to land. So that is a focus here. Mm-hmm. Then the third actual conjunction is between Venus and Saturn in Pisces.
Yeah.
Now, these are not two planets that generally grind well together.
No.
Or they grind not well together. I want to say there could be some bossy woman in your life. You could, feminist issues could become law.
Yeah.
Being politically correct regarding women will once more come to the fore.
Yeah.
And how you're having to deal with sexuality and people's orientation is going to be coming a point for the next 12 months as well.
Or the repression thereof.
Exactly.
Saturn.
Yeah. It could be it's... What I'm thinking here is that as Saturn often represents the government and old men who decide things still, let's face it, this is going to be addressed.
Yep.
So there will be other issues that come forward regarding that. It's interesting that there's so many conjunctions in this one chart bringing focus to particular types of energy.
It really is. It's fascinating.
Yeah. Okay, and if we turn our attention now to this chart and look at some of the major, well, some of the major aspect patterns, I say confidently, as though there's many of them, which there really isn't. There's only one major one, and that is this particular chart has a quintile pointer. So what you've got is you've got Venus is biquintile the moon. So you've got your two feminine planets working well together there. And then Venus is quintile to the Jupiter. And then so the Jupiter is also quintile to this moon. So you've got this, and it's on the chart there. It's the one in the turquoise. It's going, or cyan. It's the one where we're pointing to these two. And because they're conjoined, you would take them as the same energy.
Yeah.
So the Jupiter-Uranus conjunction has got focus brought to it through the moon coming in and its representation in Leo, and from this Venus-Saturn conjunction in Pisces.
So it's like a little, I don't know what
it's a triangle.
Isosceles triangle.
Is it? Isosceles, yes.
Yeah, it's an isosceles triangle, which is pointing to the Jupiter-Uranus conjunction.
Yeah, so, yeah. And as that gets tighter as the year progresses, because, of course, you can transit this chart anyway, it will get more tighter as Jupiter moves in towards that
Absolutely.
Uranus.
I mean, they're separated by 6 degrees at this point, but they will be coming completely conjunct.
Exactly. So this is a dissociate one because there are both passive and active planets, but the point being that these energies, these two feminine energies particularly, and the Saturn, is going to bring focus, I want to say in a gentle way, but in a way that if you're paying attention, you're going to notice to this Jupiter-Uranus energy in Taurus, which is pretty huge.
It is huge. It's disruptive. It's creative. And we'll get into this in the podcast.
The main episode.
But they're in Taurus, which is also really interesting because that is...
Well, it's money, isn't it?
Yeah, right? It's money, it's food.
Yes, the produce, and all of that way, growth and the internet has to come together to, what do they call this, feed people?
Yeah, the supply chains, the breadbasket, the world and all that stuff, and the fact that Ukraine
food insecurity.
Food insecurity, all of that.
Is coming together, and that is being reinforced there by the moon as well, which will mean that hopefully we've got... women are going to be paying attention to this and driving some of these things.
Yeah.
But because they're quintiles, they're actually, it's really resting there for you to do something about. Mm-hmm. So if it does interest you, that would be something that could come to focus.
Yeah.
And if these planets are triggering your chart, you are likely to be under the influence of these things too.
Yeah. It's interesting. I'm thinking, and this is just off the top of my head, extemporaneously, as they say, but I'm thinking of all of these forever wars that have been going on, and it seems like forever, but yet they're new, but yet
it's the same
old wars. I mean, we've got this thing happening
in the
Middle East. We've got this thing happening in Ukraine. These massive superpowers are pumping billions of dollars into these little places that have never seen that much peace in their entire lifetimes, decades and decades where these countries have just been used as a proxy for other powers, and just tons of civilian casualties. Generations are just being uprooted and destroyed. I mean, hundreds of thousands of people, I believe, in Russia and Ukraine at this time have been killed or maimed. And I think at this point, maybe it's 60,000 in the Middle East. It's atrocious. It's absolutely mind-boggling. And then people are being canceled for protesting because it's like, well, no, you're being anti-Semitic. Well, wait a minute. Isn't any time someone is a civilian and they're murdered, isn't that bad? Like, regardless of what nation they're in or their ideology or and it's not the heads of any of these things that are being killed. They're in their little bunkers. There's only like, you know, four or five of them of the actual architects of these wars. And the tens of thousands of people whose lives are being ruined, hundreds of thousands, really, if you think of the fallout of the finances and food insecurity and their homes being razed to the ground, they're all civilians.
Cannon fodder,
99.9999% of the people who are affected by these awful, awful wars are just people.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's, this is what I'm seeing here with this chart is just maybe the awareness of that somehow dawning. And I mean, is that a feminine thing? Is that a feminine thing?
I think
to suddenly go, wait a minute, civilians, women and children?
Yeah. This is it. Well, even before we started recording this evening, there was a protest outside our window that we could hear up here on the 20th floor, and they were coming down. They locked down the city with the, with this protest about the war in the Middle East.
Yeah.
And people are more aware of it, I think, than we ever have been before in the past, you know. But, so this may be reflected within this chart, the fact that Pluto is the cutting planet, and we're going to, you know, it's going to be what, adapt or die. The, something has to give.
Yeah.
But it's been, I would have preferred to have seen women go running for presidencies of countries this year, of course.
That would be nice.
That would be nice.
Yeah.
But again, we're going to be, it's going to be down to the same old story again coming through where, you know, I want to say old white men are running the world, and they still are, whoever you are.
The oldest possible representatives of our species, really.
Yes. Across all countries, let's face it.
And I am not being ageist either. We are both...
in that age, a certain age, right?
Yeah, but I mean...
Really,
God,
still?
Can we not find someone who's, like, not senile and not, my God, to run the biggest countries in the world?
Yes.
What?
So if we, you know, if you look at these for politics as well, this is the this is going to be the themes that's going to be discussed, tossed about, and and mentioned.
And the reason that this is a thing too, because the Aries point is, as Eric Francis of Planet Waves has said, has always said, the political is the personal is political, and vice versa.
Yes.
That is the Aries point. That is what he defines the Aries point as, meaning the personal is political and vice versa.
Yeah.
And this is it's true. It's you know, it's always been true, but we can ignore it a lot of the time. And then we have aspects that happen that shove it into our faces and we can't ignore it. And it stops traffic when we're trying to get home on a Monday or what have you. Or you can't get through your feed without seeing people being murdered. Or my feed is mostly Barbies and cat videos, unfortunately.
Is that right?
But,
well, that says that tells us everything we need to know.
Just recently.
So the point is that this chart is particularly sensitive because as the sun crosses out from Pisces at the tail end and enters Aries, it's crossing the celestial equator.
Right.
So there is a point right there, the vernal equinox. And this is where the tropical zodiac is measured from, which we use and we love.
Yeah.
And this is why we're celebrating it. It's actually... and for us in the north, it's the beginning of spring, which I cannot wait. I've totally had enough of winter, and I'm looking forward to the spring coming through. I've seen the daffodils pushing through outside, just their green shoots, and they'll be coming up soon.
Yeah.
The point is, it's a marker for the year. It's part of the cycle, the solar cycle.
Yeah.
That's why these charts are always interesting. So even though each year the sun will be at zero Aries, these planets will be in different positions each year that where it shows what will unfold in general, you know, around the globe.
Yeah.
So, of course, we're painting with a broad stroke here. We definitely... But we've got quite a few pointers, and it's interesting. There's no T-squares, there's no grand triangles, there's nothing, you know, major there, but there's a lot of energy being brought together in these four conjunctions, or the three conjunctions, and that one stellium.
Yeah, it's going to be an interesting year for sure.
Yeah, so we will definitely be looking into the Chiron conjoining Eris. That's on our list of things to be chatting about.
Yep.
We've got the Jupiter-Uranus. I'm not sure if that's come out already, but it's in the bag almost.
Yep.
And in that, by the time this comes out,
we'll
probably have dealt with that as well. Because these are things that only happen once in 12 years, once in 50 years for the Chiron.
Yeah.
So, interesting.
Absolutely.
Okay, so we've had a quick look at the International Astrology Day for 2024. That's March 19th. We've had a look at what's going on in it, and it's a mundane chart. And we'll talk about this maybe more even again. But so if this is a chart that will give you something to think about as the year unfolds, if you're an astrologer, obviously you would be listening to this. And if you found value in this episode, do please share it with anybody who would be interested.
Absolutely.
And if you'd like to contact us, you can email us at starzology@gmail.com. And our website is starzology.com. I keep forgetting to always say that, but that needs to go in as well. And Arwen, I'd like to thank you for being here once more.
Thank you for inviting me. This has been great.
Yeah, no, it's great. And we look forward to seeing you again next time. And
thanks
so much for listening. Thanks so much for getting this far through the episode. I just want to take a moment to tell you about the two main options of my astrology services. So the first one is coaching. If you are an aspiring astrologer, and by that I mean someone who's perhaps a hobbyist astrologer or someone who's learning astrology or a student, or you've got a few books and you've been doing it for a while, but perhaps you need a little bit of help to bring it all together, then maybe getting some astrological coaching from me would be the answer for you. The astrology coaching I offer is a one-hour session on Zoom, and it's tailored to answer your particular questions. For example, if you have issues with natal chart readings, we can go there. Or if you're having problems working with your forecasting, we can go there. Or even basic astrology stuff, or even getting yourself organized for your astrology business. The idea is that astrological coaching will answer your particular questions. It's tailored specifically to you and where you are in your astrological journey. And I'm happy to help you out with some guidance about how you can get going, what to focus on, and what to dismiss. So that would be the astrological coaching for people trying to learn astrology. The second astrological service I offer is consultations. So this is for someone who perhaps doesn't know anything about astrology, but they just want to have their chart read or get their chart done. Call it what you will. So once more, this is a one-hour consultation over Zoom. I will interpret your chart, tell you about the main features, tell you about where the energy is flowing, and all the rest of what is entailed in a thorough natal chart interpretation. I can also add in some forecasting in there too, bearing in mind we only have 1 hour. So just in summary, I've got coaching for people who want to learn astrology, and I've got consultations for those who want to get an astrology reading done. I'm Alison Price from starsology.com. Thank you so much for listening. We'll see you next time.